Welcome to the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. I'm your host, James Renford Powell, author of the Renford Books and the Laws of Material Wealth that we studied for 54 weeks on this show. And I want to remind you that you can go to Blog Talk Radio, B-L-O-G-T-A-L-K, blogtalkradio.com/Renford. That'll take you to the homepage of the RBR Network. And there you can find any one of those shows. You can go all the way back to week one and follow through all the way to week 54 of that Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. If you send me an email, iamrenford, I-A-M-R-E-N-F-O-R-D, at gmail.com, I'll be happy to send you the support material that goes with that show, and you can follow it all the way through if you like. If you have anyone who would like to listen to the show tonight and are possibly not where they can get to a computer or they're not online, they can call at 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. If you want to ask a question or if they want to ask a question, all you have to do is call that number, 347-838-9142, and press the 1 button on your touchtone dial, and that will flag us to bring you in for your question. And you may have questions tonight of Dr. L. McDonald. We are in the fourth in a 6-part series about stress ace yoga, something that she has developed. She's a yoga teacher, but she developed a special program of education as well as how to specifically deal with stress. This is a very important program, and those that I've set in on, classes that I've set in on with her, have drawn a tremendous amount of interest. So she'll be on, and we'll talk a little bit more about her and what she has to talk about. This will be unbounded awareness tonight, and then we'll have only two more left, and we'll talk about those shows will be about later in the show. As usual, I am going to read the blog, the Renford Revelations blog. Now, we are doing one of these each week at the beginning of the show, and then these blogs go up to iam-cor.org/blog. That's our main website for the campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics. And you can go to iam-core.org/blog and go back and look at any of the Renford Revelations that you like. You may comment on them, positive or negative. That's up to you. But we'd welcome your comments and suggestions about it. These Renford Revelations will also be included in the e-zine, Lightways e-zine. And is a major focus for us. In fact, we've already shot 31 television shows, 30-minute segments, called the Renford Revelation. So this is a major thing for me, for the Institute of Applied Metaphysics. Tonight's Renford Revelation is called The Enigmas of the Biblical Text. And we do have a number of enigmas in the biblical text. And I'll begin now. Where do we go to find answers to the ultimate questions posed by man? Why am I here? Is there a God? Is there any real purpose for me in relation to such a God? What am I looking for? Where do I go from here? Why don't events depicted in ancient text, concepts so forcefully taught and doctrines held to be the literal words of God, often make no sense? How did we come to be here at this moment in time under these circumstances? These are the perennial questions to which for many there appeared to be no answers. Not being satisfied with the answers from the church or from the scientific community, numerous philosophical writers have tried to answer these questions. They've done so with limited success. In the midst of it all, we can say that we believe this or that principle to be true, but we want to know if they are. We want to be able to identify these principles and be able to verify them in a meaningful way from our life experiences. Many are unable to reconcile the nature of God as depicted in the Old Testament with the God Jesus revealed in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, he appears petulant and often murderous. He is jealous, vengeful, and without mercy for anybody's chosen people, and sometimes he doesn't show them a lot of mercy. The loving Father, as revealed to the New Testament in the New Testament by Jesus, is depicted as one who so loved the world that he sacrificed his own son. The enigmas of the Bible have always perplexed man. The Renford books give a clear and logical explanation that provides a system for verification. This is what my program is about. There are stories, ideas, and statements in the ancient text that may not seem to ring true, but this is also the case with science. Once the scientist gets past concrete facts, his theories are just as esoteric as the mystic. There are facts proven by science, yet where the question of why appears as a huge void. This is because physical sciences study the manifested reality of thought and not the force that creates the thought. Science has given us many answers, but those who profess to deal only in hard facts cannot completely string all these hard facts together into a rational explanation. Even science fiction writers who extrapolate many seemingly unanswerable questions into a plausible explanation also come up short when they try to give some meaning to the ultimate questions. The questions loom so great that philosophers have only picked away at the answers, happy to accept a single truth, while organized religion advocated a suspension of reason and reliance upon faith. The church fathers have maintained that there are unknowable mysteries, and the great reformers asserted that salvation can be found in believing only. These voices throughout history have fought scientific advancement every step of the way. As science has gained in credibility, we've created a new priesthood. The priesthood of scientists has become even more exclusive and condescending than the former. Since science makes little attempt to give us an answer as to what came before the physical manifestation they call the Big Bang, the Renford books and chosen text included in the program go to those who told us with confidence that they had the answers. Unfortunately, what these great masters have told us has not only been shrouded in mystery, but also covered with layers of misunderstanding and even lies. In the Renford books and my articles, we leave doctrine and dogma at home and simply listen to what the masters have to say. The program of study I've developed and teach in the Renford books and the Institute is for those who have logically concluded that the answers are not the special property of any party or discipline or modern-day messiah. When one finally comes to the conclusion that this universe, the earth, and man has been influenced by a variety of sources, and that there may be truths hidden among the wreckage strewn by developing man, it can be said that the eyes are open for the search. When one recognizes that the ultimate in understanding and power is within himself, it is possible to discern the outline of truth simply by reading ancient texts with one's mind open and eyes capable of seeing. However, before we can truly commence a study or play any kind of game, we must learn the rules. What are the laws governing the game of life? These great questions have plagued man from the point in time he identified himself as different from the animals. As a thinking being, he has pondered his reasons for being here. Do we operate in a great vacuum of chaos with our being subject to chance? If there's no reason behind it all, one must conclude there is no supreme mind to give it reason. If reason exists, it follows there must be mind behind it. There is now and there has always been one source for the knowledge shared by the great masters. universal being has always existed, and the universal truths are the divine self-expression. There have been those from the beginning who understood, but it was not then, nor is it now, possible to take in what we are incapable of understanding. Therefore, the knowledge has been preserved or hidden in the open from man. He carries that knowledge within himself, and when he has prepared his container to hold the volume, he's been able to receive it. This study is designed for those who are prepared to expand their container. I've gone to the authoritative sources who have given us the answers. My purpose was to determine what the universal laws were and reveal that they are the powers that provide the structure we know as life. The Institute of Applied Metaphysics, first level of study, reveals and explains the common truths taught by all the great masters. The second level is dedicated to various ways of manifesting these truths. Finally, the third level analyzes the results caused by the father confusers who came after the great masters. They, like those today who have a vested interest in maintaining the present structure and employ fear as a tool to control us, are more interested in showing us their exclusivity and dividing our loyalties. Place your traditions and preconceived ideas in a safe compartment. You can retreat should you find my article blogs too disconcerting. If, however, you can allow yourself to identify and verify the truths in your life experience, there is knowing to be gained. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And that is the Renford Revelation for this evening on the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. Now let's get to my guest. My guest has been with us the third Wednesday of each month, Dr. L. McDonald. She is in, this is the fourth week. We have tonight and two more. There's a total of six. She has developed a program called Stress Ace Yoga, which targets the need for stress release. We'll be able to get her perspective on personal transformation and the dynamics of mind and body working together. This is the third in the six-part series, as I mentioned, and I'm very pleased to have her back with us. And tonight we're going to be talking about unbounded awareness. Welcome to the show, Dr. L., and start off by telling us what unbounded awareness is all about.
Thank you, Jim. This is the fourth in the six-part series.
Right.
Just to recap a little bit, is the first part was about multiplicity within diversity and being able to be an individual within the whole, but being part of the whole. The second topic was about the dynamic body-self to help people realize that we're not statues and that within this wholeness, within this multiplicity and diversity, we are constantly moving and changing. Cells are replicating. Everything's moving within our body. We're not static. Everything changes, including our brain. With the new revelation of neuroplasticity, we're growing new brains, not new neurons, but we're growing new dendrites and axons and glia cells in our body with new thought and keep exercising our brains. And then the third talk was about creating and manifesting within this flow, within the wholeness of life. And tonight we're talking about unbounded awareness, which ties in to the whole thing in this way. I like to use the metaphor of reading words on a page. And when you read the words on the page, they're individual, they have meaning. But when we read like that, most of us are not aware of the white behind the words, the page behind the words that holds the words. And that's what we call unbounded awareness. There's no limit to it. There's no definition of it. There's no shape to it. But it holds life together. or it holds the words together. So unbounded awareness is silence, but it's not like the silence that we, when we go into meditation and they tell us to quiet our thoughts and go into emptiness. This silence is a lively silence, and there's a lot of activity within the silence. So there's a like a free beingness that happens. So if we look at life, life is made up of experiences. All we have is experiences. Even thought, emotion can take us away from immediate experiences. However, we can watch our thoughts, and we have feelings that thoughts can even take us closer to immediate experiences. So, for instance, let's say you're eating something. You have an experience of a taste or a smell or a texture. But then after you've eaten it, you reflect back on it and you get pictures or you have memories. So then you go into a representation of the experience. So pictures, even that are filled with joy and happiness and fulfillment, after we eat and reflect back upon it, it's still an experience, but it's a symbolized experience. So life as a whole is an experience. Sleeping, when we're asleep, we have dreams. So a lot of those dreams happen on an unconscious level. But there's a lot of things that happen that we're aware of. This point being is that we have a wide variety of experiences that happen that make up our consciousness. We have consciousness, and it can be unconscious or it can be conscious. So conscious, when we have conscious thoughts, we're aware of it. When we have unconscious thoughts, we do not. So every experience we have is something that is a content of consciousness that makes up consciousness. So I am going somewhere with this thought. And so what I'm saying is consciousness is the unbounded awareness. Consciousness is the paper behind the words. So, for instance, if you just raise up and take a look at your hand, and you notice your hand, you notice the lines on your palm, or maybe you're wearing rings, this is an experience. You have an image that you're looking at that's an experience, a direct experience. That experience is a content of consciousness. That experience is a word on the page. That makes up consciousness. It is not consciousness. It is the content of consciousness. So, like if you're listening to a piece of music, or even the sound of your own voice, that's a content of consciousness. That's what I'm talking about when we talk about thoughts, feelings, emotion. It's a distinct body, mind, feeling. And there are things that we notice. And when we notice things, we become aware of distinct things that are contents of consciousness. So, like if you picked up a bowl, you had a bowl, you have a thought. It's a unique experience within the boundaries of consciousness. You have a bowl. It has boundaries. And when we're aware of that bowl, that is the object of our attention. When we are aware of a thought, that is the object of our attention.
Yeah, the show's going on.
Sorry? Did you say something?
No, there was a call coming in. Just go ahead.
I see. Oh, okay. So when we are,
I did want to ask if that unbounded consciousness involves tapping into the subconscious and tapping into the inner consciousness. When you're talking about unbounded consciousness, you're talking about stepping out of normal relative consciousness into these other two areas of our consciousness. Is that what you're saying?
Wait. Well, I want to keep our words clear. This is unbounded awareness versus contents of consciousness. So most of the type of thoughts that go by without we have lots of things that happen that go by without a great deal of notice. We have body sensations. We have objects of attention. And then we have distinct individual objects. All those things make up the contents of consciousness, but it is not consciousness. There's nothing in our lives that's not an experience. It's not so much who is the experiencer, but it's more about what is being experienced. So when we're aware of something, we're experiencing the contents of consciousness. Within it, within the bowl that we just talked about, or your hand that you held up, or you're thinking about the bowl, or you have a thought, or you're having an experience, all of this is content, and it's presented to consciousness. So it's a little bit like having projections upon a screen where we have a white area and then black objects are projected onto it. So if we have a bowl and we're aware of this bowl, that's a content of consciousness, and it's presented to this unbounded awareness that I'm speaking of. Normally, we're not aware of our awareness. We are only aware of the content of consciousness. So the bowl, the thought of the bowl, the body sensation, taste, those are all contents of consciousness. But we're not typically aware that we're aware of it. But here's the point. We can become aware of awareness. We can become aware of the silence between the thoughts, the silence between the activities. We can become aware of the page that's holding the words. It is the silence upon which all experiences are projected. So you could say, okay, so what? Well, here's the thing. Once we become aware of awareness. Awareness becomes aware of itself. And once that starts happening, there's a wholeness that starts being integrated into your life. That is where creativity, that is where intuition, that is where the flow of life begins to manifest itself. So the print on the page, we read the words. Usually we're not even aware of the white background. The white background is 80% of the page. So it's similar to awareness. You can begin to become aware of awareness, like becoming aware of the screen upon which images are projected. We can learn to exist in pure awareness and become aware of awareness itself, that deep silence. That lively silence. This is not, and what happens when you become aware of awareness, a change begins to happen in you. As you become aware of awareness, it becomes stronger, and the page or the background becomes more to the foreground rather than in the background. And awareness becomes stronger and stronger. And the experience of awareness is when awareness becomes aware of itself. Then awareness becomes an experience. And this is a crucial distinction. So the awareness of awareness is still only experience. But here's the difference. It's not a content of consciousness. It's the only thing that is stable. Everything else that we experience is transient. It's fundamentally different than all the experiences, but it is an experience. But it's a stable experience. Awareness is the only experience that is not a content of consciousness. It is that to which all contents of consciousness are presented. It's the white background on the printed page. It's the white screen upon which our thoughts are projected. But it's still an experience. It is unbounded in that it is not a thing. And all contents of consciousness are things. But awareness of awareness is not a thing. It is unbounded. It is nothing. It is no thing. It is pure awareness. And there is no content.
It reminds me of space, like the white background you're talking about. The space, you think of it as being nothing. But if the space wasn't there, there couldn't be the planets, there couldn't be the stars, there couldn't be anything else.
Exactly. It holds everything. It's the only stable thing that there is. And it's very important, and here's why. Because the awakening is not something one settles down into or a dead silence. It is an awakening to the lively silence where creation takes place. It is here that everything becomes enlivened. It's not getting down to it like meditation or dulling down of the senses or thoughts. They tell us in meditation to quiet our thoughts and to be still and go in the emptiness. This is like an awakening to aliveness. This unboundedness of awareness gets enlivened by you by becoming aware of it. And in becoming aware of awareness, the silence and the bliss of silence comes from it. If we are not aware of this awareness, then we are caught up in the contents of consciousness, which are all things. This unbounded awareness has no boundaries. It is only experience. It is not a thing. It is the only experience that does not fluctuate. It is constant. So it's a steady, whenever we talk about awakening or going for enlightenment, or we're looking for a steady state. And when we look at that, we find that there are no steady states. Everything changes and shifts constantly. When you go into meditation, people can't hold that all the time. There's no steady state. So every state is transient. But this unbounded awareness is a constant event. It does not matter how subtle it is. It's still a thing. Unbounded awareness is the only experience that does not fluctuate. It is not a thing. The awakeness to unbounded awareness, it's like the screen that is limitless. There's no dimension to it. It is nothing, but it's I know this is very abstract, but it's very important to get across the idea that this unbounded pure awareness is the awakening that everyone's looking for. It's not a state of consciousness. And it is that which consciousness is projected onto.
The program that you teach in Stress Ace, is this an approach to becoming to this unbounded awareness?
That's a good question, but let me just finish this and then I'll talk about Stress Ace and how it relates to this.
Okay.
This unbounded awareness already exists. It already exists in your brain and in your nervous system. But we are conditioned to only focus on experiences. When we are born into the world, we are pure, unbounded awareness. And the minute we come out of the womb, we start being conditioned by society, parents, teachers, la-di-da-di-da. And so this unbounded awareness never gets integrated into real life. And the only way now as adults for it to happen is when you become aware of it, when you become aware of the wholeness. It's tangible, it's a sensation, and it's enlivened. And it's almost like a hologram. You know how you stick your hand through a hologram and it's there, but you don't feel it. All experiences are integrated into the body and mind, and it all comes into this unbounded awareness, this integration into nothingness, this enlivening of beingness, the experience into life, the ego, the mind, your sense of self, totally exists in pure awareness. And once we become aware of this awareness, we begin living in bliss. Our intelligence operates, our intuitiveness functions, and this is where creativity flows. So one of the things that we teach in Stress Ace Yoga, and one of the things you become aware of very clearly, especially if you start working with the brain and nervous system, is you become aware that this unbounded awareness and how it is the background on which everything hangs. So when we work with the nervous system and the stress that's been put into our nervous system, and that starts releasing, that's when the awareness of awareness becomes very powerful.
So it's during these exercises or positions that you're teaching that the window is open there.
There's a window that's open. Yes. It's a window of opportunity. And the meditation that we teach in Stress Ace Yoga is not a dumbing down or a going into silence. It's becoming aware of this enlivened silence where it starts becoming into the foreground rather than being in the background. And once that starts happening, it starts integrating into your life. And then the wholeness of the multiplicity, diversity, the dynamic body self, being able to create and manifest comes into play.
So instead of listening to your breathing or saying a mantra or any of that, you're basically in those movements in a situation of very keen listening. Would that be how you would describe it?
Uh, No.
Well, describe it for us.
Well, there is a whole reflex system in the body that we're born with. And through our conditioning and the way we're raised, and we start living in the world as a separate individual. We are not integrated into life. We are told that we're separate. And so when we start practicing stress ACE yoga, this conditioning starts unraveling. And when you're a child, a little infant, and you have this unbounded awareness, there's one thing. But just because you're conditioned over it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So the stress ACE yoga that allows the conditioning to unwind and unravel, to reveal once again this unbounded awareness that you were born with, which is like, I mean, if you want to use the word God, you could use that, or transcendent self. We were born that way, but we got conditioned over it. So stress ACE yoga allows this unwinding, this conditioning to unwind, to reveal what's already there. So all the words on the page are there on the white background. We already have this unbounded awareness in us, but we're not aware of it. We're not aware of it. We live in these tiny little millimeters of perception when we have gargantuan 2,000 million miles of space that we could be aware of. But we choose, and we've been conditioned down to a certain perception, and that's where we live.
The student or the participant in the program become aware of awareness? I mean, how you talk about it unwinding. What do they experience
the
in
postures
this unwinding?
The postures that we do, and we do breathing, and we do go into silence, but we listen differently. We listen for the nothingness that is alive. It's a vibratory sensation that happens. And it happens through experience. It happens through the content of consciousness. But once that is released, the stress levels are released, then this pure awareness comes forth. And it comes in through revisiting these early childhood reflexes, through enlivening the nervous system and the brain to be active, not empty. So it's a little bit like a hologram, like I was talking before. It's already there, except our awareness of it, because our bodies are all we got, you know, for our experiences. So if we lose our bodies, we lose the game, and we're out of the game. We can't play anymore. So with stress ACE yoga, we use the body to get into these other places, and the way we do it is very specific. Working with our senses, working with our body, and working with our breath, and studying this neuroplasticity by growing our brains and growing our nervous system and awakening it, not sitting and trying to make it be quiet.
Yeah. How long does it take for one of your participants or students to notice a difference, to begin to become aware of the awareness?
People have experiences after the first session. Someone knows right away that something is happening. I've had people with me now a couple of years, two to three years, and the ones that come on a regular basis, their lives are opening up and functioning. Maybe originally they were having financial difficulties. They're finding now that all that is dissipating. Maybe they were having relationship problems. They're finding that that's all resolving itself. So this happens. It's because if it happened all at once, it would be shocking to someone. So it happens gradually, and it happens at a rate that however the individual can handle it is how fast it happens. So typically, if someone were to come on a scheduled basis, you need 18 months to 2 years to get to a place where there's this sense that this unbounded awareness actually is living you rather than you living it. It actually comes in and begins to, you're kind of participating in life, and it's like living you. It's you, but it's bigger than you. It's you, but it's also inside of you, but outside of you. We were born with it, and it's always been with us. And like I said, you could use the word God, you can use the word unbounded awareness, you could use transcendent self. Language becomes very awkward when you try to talk about this consciousness. It's a consciousness. It's awareness being aware of itself.
Now, in this awareness becoming aware of itself, is this experience somewhat like observing oneself, like stepping out of oneself and looking? How would you describe it?
No, I wouldn't describe it that way. I would describe it, and the only way I can describe it because of the words, I would compare it to picking up a bowl and observing it versus and then setting the bowl down, because that changed. But if you took the bowl and had the experience of the bowl, you set it down, that's an content of consciousness. What was looking at the bowl and observing the bowl was your thought or your picture of the bowl. But behind the bowl was this bigger arena. So it's not you observing, but it's the consciousness that held the bowl while you observed it. Again, it's like the white on the paper and the words written on the paper. The words are not the white background, but they are on the white background. Consciousness is, the contents of consciousness is our life experiences, our body sensations, our feelings, our hopes, our dreams. Those are all contents of consciousness. But consciousness holds those things. So to get to that place, the nervous system, the brain, the tangibility of experiencing the unbounded awareness, the consciousness that holds those things, is what I'm talking about.
Now, you're teaching at the City of Memphis. You're teaching at your center in East Memphis.
Yeah.
You're teaching in your residence.
No, I don't teach there anymore. I teach at the studio and at university.
Now, could you give listeners again, now we've done this each week, but give the listeners some contact points for you if they have questions about the discussion tonight, and or if they would like to experience a kind of an initiation session with you.
Yes, I know what I'm speaking about tonight is fairly abstract, but it's so important. At the same time, it's subtle, but it's extremely important. But my phone number is 901-457-8895. My email is Ella, E-L-L-A, at stressaceyoga.com. And my website is stressaceyoga.com. I'm also on Facebook. It's Stress Ace Yoga Natural Stress Control. And then I have a personal webpage as well, Ella McDonald, ELLAMACDONALD.
Do you have material there or available that you can send or that they can get it on the website that introduces?
Yeah, there's YouTube. There's several YouTube videos they can watch as well. Stress Ace. Just type in Stress Ace, and you'll see L 15 minutes. You'll also see my associate Anka and another associate Rob from Australia, and they're talking about Stress Ace and Stress Ace Yoga. We have an ebook. That you know you can receive, and we have a new book coming out called The Yoga of Natural Stress Control, and then working on a book now called The Emotional Roller Coaster. It's also about stress ice, and then we have brochures and things like that. But you know, it's to have an experience of it is you can't beat experience. You can read about yoga and do stuff, but until you get on the mat, you really it's not the same thing.
No, the personal experience is of paramount importance. What can you tell us a little bit about the new book that we'll be publishing soon that you're coming out with, The Emotional Roller Coaster?
Yes, that's about my own personal journey through learning about Stress Ace Yoga and experiencing it. I've been doing it now since 2013. I was already a yoga teacher and a practitioner, but this takes yoga to a whole new level. And really, you don't have to have a guru. It's not full of strange words. We use English. It's based on neuroscience, sensory integration, and early childhood development. So this is like yoga on steroids.
What brought it on? I mean, can you tell us a little bit about the discovery of this? I mean, how this how you came to understand this and develop this stress ace yoga?
Well, it's actually taken place over a 20-year period when I lived in South Africa. Anka, my associate, was a student of mine, and at that time I was teaching eye movement technology, which also worked with stress and trauma, but it was based on mostly the brain, the eyes, the ears, And it did have some movements, physical movements in it. And so she trained with me, and then through her, she's a childhood psychologist, a child psychologist. And so she's coming at it from a different angle. So she took what she learned and did some more research. And then, of course, science itself has evolved along the way as well. So when I went to visit her back in 2013, I said, hey, what's going on? What have you been doing? And she said, well, I took your protocol and what you did from your book, Are You Too Emotional? And I've expanded it, and I've included sensory integration, early childhood development reflexes, and some newer science research. And I said, well, let's have a look and see it. And I was amazed when she showed it to me, and I started unwinding and releasing immediately, and spent the next year getting to the point where I am today as we speak, and becoming aware of all these subtle, and not only subtle, but the gross difference in myself. So the book is about that, and it's also testimonies and stories of students. We've done enough students now that we have enough to write about, and they can tell their own stories. So the emotional roller coaster is a little bit about how it came about my story, and then about a lot of the students' stories too.
Were you amazed at what she came up with because it was so similar to what you were teaching, or because there was something there that you hadn't thought of before?
I was amazed that it was so similar, and also I had kind of stopped. I had kind of, gone cold on the whole thing. I was just teaching yoga and wasn't really paying attention to all the stuff that I was doing before, and this kind of reawakened it, and it felt like that I was supposed to help carry it on. So it's not only my original work, which I did my dissertation on, but it's her original work. So combined, the two combined, seems like a natural marriage. It just works so beautifully. So in the yoga, we do a lot of eye work. We do a lot of breathing. We use some neurolinguistic programming stuff. We use, the early childhood reflexes. And we use conventional yoga postures as well. Conventional yoga is great. If that's all you do, it's still great. Meditation is still great. But this is taking it to another level, and you actually know when you do something in this yoga why you're doing it and what you're doing it for. There's no mystery. There's no guru. You become your own guru. You are your own teacher. You know how you feel. You know what feels good and what doesn't. You know what hurts and what doesn't. So it really has stepped up yoga, 100% in my mind.
For the last year, you've been focused on training people who are already yoga teachers. You've been focused on training them in the techniques of stress-ace yoga.
Right.
Are you going to? I know that your plans call for much more in the way of travel, workshops, seminars, speaking engagements. But do you should experienced yoga teachers talk to you about?
Yes, if you're a certified experienced yoga teacher, we won't train people that are not certified yoga teachers. There is another level of the training that Anka does, and she does it with psychologists. She does it with life coaches. And she also does it with professional athletes, golfers, equestrians. There's a whole level of training and working with people, children, that she works with that's more in the psychological realm. I'm trained as a psychologist, but I don't work in those fields anymore. I do everything under the umbrella of yoga now.
Well, there's a certain amount of teaching that has to go on all the time there. Like you've taken some time tonight to explain this, which is, like you say, a little bit abstract, but you take the time to do this specifically because you don't want them doing something and not know why they're doing it, so that they can recognize
right.
what they're doing. Yeah.
Right. Right.
And
we teach that in classes too. We say, okay, we're doing this, and this is why we're doing it, and you know, and they can feel their body. It's a journey into your own body. It's a journey into your own nervous system. And everything that's gone into us comes out of us. So it's really fascinating how that works.
Can you, for one more time here, give everybody your contact information just to be sure if they missed it? I mean, you can always go back to after this show and listen to it again, but to save you from that having to go back, go ahead and give the contact numbers again.
My phone is 901-457-8895. My email is ELLA@stressaceyoga.com. The website is stressaceyoga.com. I have a Facebook page, ELLA NACDONALD, Memphis. And then there's also a Stress Ace Yoga Facebook page. And you can follow our classes and events. We're having a retreat May 8th through the 10th here in Memphis, and it's for 3 days. And the pillar of the retreat is yoga. But we'll be getting out in nature and spending some time looking at the sky and trees and stuff like that too. So it'll be real fun.
All right. Now, Dr. L will be back with us the third Wednesday of next month, and we'll be talking, and she will be talking about the transcendent self. So we're
now
building
next
toward
month, Jim. Next month I'll be in Mexico next month,
mm-hmm.
but the month after.
The month after, okay, yeah.
Right.
All right. I have to make a note of that myself here.
Yeah,
I
mean, I'm actually going down to Mexico to do some research on some yoga studios down there and see if I can get some things going down in Mexico.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us tonight. And this is an interesting, very interesting series, and I think will be beneficial for you if you look into it. You have the contact numbers, and if for any reason you've missed it, give me a ring at 901-487-9365, or email me. I am Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D, @gmail.com, and I'll get you the information. Want to invite you to go to Blog Talk, check out the other shows. There are 10 shows a week. Go to YouTube.com, type in Renford Broadcast Network. You can see Dr. L there in some of the lectures that she's done with Core Concepts. You can go there and check that out as well. And, of course, go to im-core.org and visit the virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics. You've got 3 books, e-books you can download free. And you can view the bookstore and the 3 degree levels of study. Thanks again, Elle, for being with us.
Yeah.
And thank you, everyone, for being with us tonight on the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. Have a good evening.